Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, we'll clear up some misconceptions about feline leukemia, learn why cats eat grass, and we'll get veterinary money-saving tips from the AMVA. So we will start with something from the animal rescue site, the surprising reason your kitty munches on grass. They say cat owners often wonder why their kitty friend munches on grass. The reason is simple, although a bit counterintuitive. Cats eat grass because it makes them sick, according to PetMD. Grass makes cats throw up because they don't have the enzymes in their gut to digest it. But when the grass comes up, it brings with it indigestible and sometimes harmful substances. Though the cat probably doesn't enjoy throwing up any more than its owner, getting rid of questionable foodstuffs brings relief. All kinds of cats eat grass, be they domesticated, feral, or wild, writes Care 2. Cats are obligate carnivores, which means they must eat meat to stay healthy. In the wild, a cat eats all of its prey, even parts its system can't break down easily. Cats also groom themselves by licking, which means they swallow no small amount of their own fur. This is tough for their bodies to handle. When they eat grass, it's vomited up and out. The grass that the cat doesn't regurgitate provides fiber, which is good for the digestive system, according to Life with Cats. Fiber adds bulk to the lower gastrointestinal or GI tract and helps eliminate hard-to-digest items in the large intestine. Grass that stays in the cat's GI tract is also a good source of folic acid. Folic acid is a B vitamin that supports the production of hemoglobin, a protein that ensures the proper infusion of oxygen into red blood cells. For all these reasons, veterinarians tell cat owners not to worry about their pet nibbling bits of the lawn from time to time. The grass needs to be free of pesticides, however. Some vets even recommend that the owner grow a safe, dedicated pot of grass for cat to chew on. As for the resulting unpleasantness, that's just part of owning a cat. Grass grazing, as it's called, is not dangerous for a cat and is in fact beneficial. Indeed, a cat that doesn't find grass to eat might turn to some other bit of greenery that's far more hazardous. From Best Friends Animal Society, feline leukemia misconceptions. This was written by Amy Larson. In 2007, the oldest cat at the Best Friends Sanctuary was positive for the feline leukemia virus, or FELV. Sabella, a Siamese, was, drumroll please, 21 and a half years old. Not only did she live a long life, but an extremely happy life as well. One of the biggest misconceptions about feline leukemia, which suppresses a cat's immune system, is that it is an automatic death sentence. There are many variables, however, that come into play that determine how FELV will affect a particular cat. FELV, how serious is it? Many people think FELV cats are sick and dying and have no quality of life, says cat caregiver Joni Miller. The reality, though, is felines who are positive for the virus can remain healthy for months or years after their diagnosis until the virus becomes active. In fact, some cats can live to be 10 to 15 years old if they are diagnosed as an adult. Whatever length their life ends up being, their time can be joy-filled. So what exactly does the future hold for a cat who is diagnosed with FELV? There are many factors, the biggest of which is the cat's age. More specifically, whether the cat is a kitten or an adult when they acquire the virus. The virus is harder on kittens than adults. Sadly, most kittens succumb to the disease before their second birthday. Nevertheless, even though the virus can be harsh on kittens, this does not mean their lives are without worth. A cat leukemia loophole. Also, there's a loophole that some fortunate kittens are able to slip through. Consider the journey of littermates Sox and Mr. Jimmers, two young cats who are available for adoption from the sanctuary. First, a little background. There are two tests that are used to determine a cat's FELV status, a SNAP or ELISA, enzyme-linked immunosorbent assay, and an IFA, indirect immunofluorescent antibody assay. Joni explains. The SNAP test determines if the virus is present in the cat's system, but not at what stage. A positive on the SNAP could mean the cat was recently exposed and fighting it off, or that the cat is chronically infected. When these two boys came to the sanctuary as kittens, they tested faintly positive for FELV on the SNAP test and positive on the ELISA test. A positive on the SNAP test can mean that the virus hasn't gotten into the bone marrow, so they might be able to fight it off. For this reason, this duo lived at Cat World headquarters, away from other cats with the virus. In time, they tested negative for FELV on both tests. Adopting a cat with feline leukemia. Cats who are positive for the feline leukemia virus require special considerations. They can live with other species, like dogs, bunnies, and so on, but must be an only cat or live with other felines who have the disease. The virus infects felines only, but it spreads easily through casual interaction, including via food and water bowls, litter boxes, and through mutual grooming. There are feline leukemia vaccines, but they're only 85 to 98% effective, Joni says. None are 100%, which is why it is not recommended that positive cats live with non-positive cats, she explains. FELV in the shelter cat population. Joni goes on to comment, another misconception is that FELV cats should be euthanized once they test positive because, again, the misconception is they won't live very long and will be ill and suffering for a long time. Cats who test positive in shelters do indeed present unique challenges. They must be housed separately from the general population and are more difficult to adopt out in large part because of commonly held misconceptions. Additional veterinary care may be required since the virus weakens a cat's immune system, making them more susceptible to illnesses. Because of a lack of space, funds, and potential adopters, many shelters find themselves in a difficult predicament. Many automatically kill cats who test positive for the virus. Regardless of the length of their life, a cat with the virus can lead an incredibly happy life, just like any other cat. And you can support or adopt a cat with FELV. Because of big-hearted and compassionate donors, Best Friends Animal Sanctuary is able to provide safe haven for cats, some who have FELV. Sometimes they need some extra TLC and time to find the perfect forever family, but with your support, they are able to provide them with all that they need for as long as they need it. And now, from the American Veterinary Medical Association, or AVMA, something we can all use, Money Tips for Caring Pet Owners, by Julie Sierra Mella, AVMA Communications Division. She says, everyone is trying to save money these days, including pet owners. But in an effort to cut back on costs, you may hear advice that could end up compromising your pet's health. Regardless of what you read, providing your pet with regular preventive care is the key to a healthy and long life for your pet. And an investment in preventive health care can reduce your long-term pet health care costs. How? Preventive care does just what its name suggests. It can prevent diseases that can put your pet's life in jeopardy and be costly to treat. Regular exams also often catch budding health issues that can become bigger problems if left untreated, saving you hundreds or even thousands of dollars as a result, and possibly even saving the life of your pet. First things first. We recognize that cost is a major concern for pet owners, but selecting a veterinarian involves more than just price shopping. There are several factors to consider when you choose a veterinarian, such as a convenient office hours, how the veterinarian and staff treat you and your pet, and what type of payment options and plans they offer. Cost is often a factor, but it may not be the most important factor to consider. While some veterinary medical services may be offered at very low rates, remember that they also may not include comprehensive services. Make sure you compare apples to apples, so you know that the cost estimates you're getting are for the same services. For example, one estimate might be for surgery alone, while another higher cost estimate also includes some preoperative blood work and postoperative pain relief. And when you add these services to the lower cost estimate, the prices are more comparable than you originally thought. And what about Dr. Google? More and more people are resorting to the internet to find information and guidance on health issues for both themselves and their pets. Sorting out reliable from unreliable information online can be challenging, and the internet is certainly not a reliable substitute for hands-on evaluation by your veterinarian or physician. Don't get us wrong, not all information on the internet is wrong or misguided, but the AVMA urges you to be very cautious when relying on online information for decisions regarding your own health and your pet's health. And steer clear of anyone offering online diagnosis or treatment recommendations, either for free or for a fee. They may be bogus, not to mention illegal. A penny now or a pound later. All of the veterinarians interviewed for this article emphasize that annual preventive health care exams and regular preventive care, such as vaccines, heartworm testing, fecal parasite exams, dental evaluation, and more, save pets' lives by ensuring they're healthy. They can also save pet owners money by reducing or eliminating the risk of health problems that can be more expensive to treat. The cost of preventive care usually pales in comparison to the cost of treating the disease or problem that would have been prevented. Regular exams can also detect problems early before they become serious and probably more expensive to treat. In a nutshell, spending the money upfront on preventive care can save you a lot more in the long run. Routine monitoring for tick-borne diseases and parasites, including heartworm, as well as keeping your pets up to date on medications, can save lives, said Dr. Megan McGrath of Radnor Veterinary Hospital in Wayne, Pennsylvania. Pets should have an annual wellness exam, and some pets may need more frequent exams, said Dr. Michael Cavanaugh, DABVP, American Animal Hospital Association Executive Director. Many people ask me, how often should my pet see their veterinarian? My typical answer is at least annual, and it depends. Depending on the pet's life stage, lifestyle, and overall health status, they may need to be seen more frequently. The individual pet's veterinarian is best positioned to determine how many visits per year are in order, said Dr. Cavanaugh. Annual preventive health care exams can often reveal problems that, if left undiagnosed and untreated, could have bigger consequences later on. Dr. Nan Boss, who owns the Best Friends Veterinary Center in Grafton, Wisconsin, shared a story about a cat named Gabby that hadn't been to the veterinarian in years and came into her clinic with neurological problems. Gabby was so weak she couldn't even walk. She'd had a stroke because of high blood pressure caused by hyperthyroidism, which can lead to a number of other health problems, including weight loss and heart and kidney disease. If we had been checking her thyroid level regularly, we would have caught the disease earlier and had her on medication. Plus, we would have been monitoring her blood pressure. She would never have had a stroke, Dr. Boss said. Gabby lived about 4 to 5 more years on thyroid medication, but Dr. Boss said that she was never the same cat, and suffered from hind leg weakness until her death. That wasn't the only story Dr. Boss had about a patient whose quality of life would have been better with preventive care. She also shared a story about a dog that came in for a routine dental exam and was diagnosed with atrial tachycardia, a potentially life-threatening abnormal heart rhythm. Dr. Boss's clinic offers EKGs, screens before administering anesthesia to pets, because she says most unexpected deaths under anesthesia are due to an undiagnosed heart problem. The dog was rushed to an emergency clinic where he had an echocardiogram and received medication. A routine dental exam ended up saving his life. Doing the right thing. Vaccinations, along with spaying and neutering your pets, will also cut down on medical bills and keep your pet healthy by likely reducing long-term costs. One thing to remember, however, is that pet owners shouldn't try to vaccinate their pets at home. That job should be left to a veterinary healthcare team. Although adverse reactions to vaccines are rare, they can occur and may lead to potentially life-threatening anaphylactic allergic reactions. Most reactions are mild and resolve quickly with little to no treatment, but some, such as anaphylactic reactions, require immediate emergency care, and any delay in treatment could be dangerous. Dr. David Highsmith of Highsmith Animal Hospital in Wilmington, North Carolina, said he once saw a patient, a puppy named Stella, that was vaccinated at his clinic and, in rare reaction, collapsed approximately 5 minutes after receiving the vaccination. I am convinced that if this had happened at the owner's home or some other place other than a veterinary office, that Stella would not have survived. While severe vaccine and medication reactions are rare, they can and do occur, and they can be devastating, Dr. Highsmith said. A hard pill to swallow? Maybe not. One area where you may be able to save money is on your pet's medications. Pet owners always have the option of purchasing their pet's medications from a variety of sources, including large grocery or pharmacy chains, online pharmacies, or your own veterinarian. But you should be careful when buying medications from any source other than the veterinarian you trust with your pet's well-being. If you choose to purchase your pet's medications from an online pet pharmacy, purchase only from reputable pharmacies with a valid license in your state. You can check license status with your state pharmacy board. Never purchase prescription medications from a pharmacy that tells you that you don't need a prescription. Don't purchase medications from pharmacies outside the U.S. because they may be selling medications that are not FDA approved, which is illegal in the U.S. and could pose a health risk for your pet. They may also be selling counterfeit medications or marketing pills that don't contain any medication at all. For more information on safely obtaining pet medications from online pharmacies, visit the FDA's Buyer Beware page. And never give your pet any human medications without first consulting your veterinarian. Although it may seem a quick way to save money, human medications can be very harmful, even fatal to your pet. If you purchase your pet's medications from your local pharmacy, don't accept any substitutions or alterations without your veterinarian's approval. Although pharmacists are exceptionally well-trained when it comes to human medications, they may not be aware of the unique aspects of veterinary medicine and veterinary medications. If you have any questions about your pet's prescription, always consult your veterinarian. When it comes to purchasing pet medications, it could pay to check with your veterinary clinic first. Your veterinarian might provide the medication at a cost that's very similar to the price charged by your local or online pharmacies. So don't be afraid to ask about the cost. You might be pleasantly surprised. When you purchase your pet's medications from your veterinarian, you will usually get manufacturer's rebates coupons or even free products that can cut your costs down to those low online prices while ensuring you're receiving a quality product, Dr. Boss said. Also keep in mind that some manufacturers will only guarantee their products if they are purchased from a veterinarian. Add in the convenience factor of taking the medications with you, and you may find that eliminating additional stops to get prescriptions filled saves you time as well as money. Sophisticated healthcare costs more. When it comes to specialty care, it can be harder to cut costs without compromising your pet's health. Being proactive in getting your pet treatment as soon as possible can often help you avoid costly surgeries and other procedures. Dr. Chris Hill, a surgical specialist at Charleston, South Carolina, who is board certified in surgery by the American College of Veterinary Surgeons, said he generally only sees patients after something has either gone wrong or was simply ignored by the pet owner. He said he thinks the most important thing owners can do is to have small tumors and lumps removed from their pets early during routine physicals. Too many times, an owner will ignore a small tumor that isn't bothering the pet and watch it grow to become nearly inoperable before they decide to take their pet in to have it removed, he said. What could have been a relatively easy, inexpensive surgery performed at a general practitioner's office now becomes a referral to a board-certified surgeon for a much more complicated and expensive procedure that may involve skin flaps, skin grafts, or even multiple surgeries. On top of that, if it's cancerous, you're more likely to get positive results if you begin treatment immediately. And even if it's benign, it should be removed as soon as possible. A simple solution is sometimes cheaper. Dr. Hill also spoke about the importance of preventing obesity in pets, saying the condition often leads to a multitude of health problems. We see that obese pets that have broken a leg or become paralyzed from a ruptured disc just by jumping off the couch, Dr. Hill said. Oftentimes, just by losing weight, a pet can avoid having joint replacement surgery or having to take lifelong pain medications. Obesity also increases the risk of heart disease, diabetes, and joint disease, including arthritis, so keeping your pet at a healthy weight is a great preventive measure that keeps costs down throughout your pet's entire life. Dr. Tony Buffington, a professor at The Ohio State University College of Veterinary Medicine and a diplomat of the American College of Veterinary Nutrition, said he often sees inactive indoor pets that are obese. By giving your pet the right amount of physical activity, an enriched environment, and keeping their weight at a healthy level, he said, you may be saving yourself a wallet full of trouble. In addition to keeping your pet at a healthy weight, the type of food you buy can also help you cut costs. Doing homework about the type of food you're buying for your pet may also lead to money saved. Dr. Buffington explains that if you're paying for premium food, there may not be much difference between it and other regular pet foods. Good nutrition can be achieved by a range of pet foods in a range of prices. Product marketing terminology can be confusing. Consult with your veterinarian about the best nutritional options for your pet. Making a homemade diet for your pet is possible, but it's critical that you meet your pet's nutritional needs. Dr. Buffington said he doubts homemade diets are cheaper. Before stocking up on all the foods and nutrients required for a nutritionally balanced home-cooked diet, he recommends that clients discuss their pet's diet with their veterinarian or a veterinary nutritionist, which is a veterinarian who has received additional graduate training and certification in animal nutrition. Help! Even though you make sure your pet receives exercise, proper nutrition, vaccinations, and regular veterinary exams, it can still get sick. And in an emergency situation, it's best to remember that cost-cutting measures could mean the difference between life and death. The best ways to save money on emergency care are, one, provide good preventive care so that problems are caught early. before they become more difficult and expensive to treat. 2. Prevent emergencies by being cautious and minimizing your pet's risk of injuries, poisonings, or other situations that can be avoided with some forethought. And 3. Recognize true emergencies and don't delay treatment. If you end up at a clinic or emergency facility with a sick or injured pet and you can't afford treatment, ask the veterinarian about financial options. Dr. Boss said veterinarians are often willing to help clients find solutions. For most serious problems, there is a spectrum of care, and we need to have a discussion with the client as to what their financial status will allow them to do and what they are comfortable with, she said. It's wonderful how much specialty care we have available these days, but we also are fully aware that not everyone can afford an MRI for their dog's injured shoulder or an endoscopy to look for inflammatory bowel disease. We are all very used to coming up with a solution that works. I do think it's sensible to tell your veterinarian when you truly can't afford something, explained Dr. Hill. Oftentimes, they can come up with a less expensive plan B that may not be quite as good, but is still better than taking your pet home and doing nothing. Dr. Edward Payne, whose practice is limited to emergency and critical care at Veterinary Specialty Center in Buffalo Grove, Illinois, said there are different levels of care and treatment options that veterinarians can offer to pet owners. We do realize finances are an important consideration. There's never just one option. First, we'll offer what's medically best, and after that, there are different levels of what we do and options we can offer, he said. Dr. Payne also mentioned that many clinics offer financing programs that allow owners to pay over time. Pet insurance is also an option. The AVMA endorses the concept of pet health insurance that provides coverage to help defray the cost of veterinary medical care, according to our guidelines on pet health insurance and other third-party animal health plans. Dr. Boss advised that in the event your pet gets sick, it's a good idea to have some savings put away for that rainy day and perhaps even consider buying pet insurance. Insurance, she said, can come in handy in a time of crisis or when a pet owner wouldn't otherwise be able to afford an expensive surgery or other treatment. Bottom line, if you feed your pet the best food, provide the best preventive care, and are alert to any problems early on, you still may end up with a sick or injured pet. But you lower the odds of if you are proactive about preventive health care and set aside some money or invest in pet insurance. That way, should the occasion arise, you can afford the technically advanced care that is available to your pet today. And that will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thanks for listening, and please join me next time. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.